Welcome back to Chosen Voices. Today on the podcast, we have one of my favorite people returning to share an exciting update about her life in Romania. Here's my conversation with one of my best pals, Casey Bloom. Casey, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on today.
Thank you. It's fun to be on again.
So lots of things have changed since the last time we talked, and we're going to get into those things. So I just want to ask you, how are you? I mean, how are things in Romania right now with COVID-19?
Well, life is interesting, as it is everywhere, but as the days and weeks pass, certain restrictions are lifted, other things are put into place. I think kind of similar to what I've seen in America is, you know, masks are required in public spaces and crowded outdoor areas, but there are less restrictions about group gatherings and whatnot. And while there are still cases being reported, there's not a huge spike. And thankfully, there have not been like high numbers here in Sighișoara or the surrounding areas, actually. So that has made things, I don't know, not easier, obviously, but just I'm very grateful that we've in a way been protected from some of it, but yeah, just rolling with the punches.
So what has this last season been like for you with quarantine? And you also have been planning a major transition in ministry and life. And so what has this last season been like?
Well, even as you said, I don't know how you worded the first thing you said, but like lots of things have changed since we last talked or whatever. My eyes just got really big and I nodded my head because, oh man, they have. But yeah, I mean, it's been hard to navigate all of the unknowns that have come with COVID and also trying to plan ahead at the same time. As I'm sure everybody probably listening to this can understand, it's hard to plan for more than a few, like a week or two in advance, because things are just changing constantly and you can do this, you can't do that, you have to do it like this, whatever the case may be. So I've just had to give myself and others a lot of grace because I feel like I'm very behind in all of the planning and ministry programming and all of those things. But again, up until a few weeks ago, things were changing all of the time, which meant that it was really hard to plan unless I was going to go all out and have plan A, B, C, D, et cetera. So just really remembering to have grace for myself and others because nobody knows what's going on. So we just got to do what we can.
So you're starting something new, and I guess I'll probably just ask you what it is first, because then I have about 1,000 other questions about it. But so what is next for you in Romania?
Well, I think it will be helpful, while this doesn't answer the question right away, to give a tiny recap of what I'm kind of stepping away from and then what I'm stepping into. I'm kind of like a context person, so hopefully it's helpful to people listening that I say kind of where I come from and where I'm going. But so at the beginning of this year, I officially stepped away from the Romanian Studies program, which I talked about last time I was on the podcast, where that's the program where I was serving as the on-site coordinator for American university students who came to Romania to do primarily social work practicums with a nonprofit organization called Veritas, as well as some programs within the Church of the Nazarene. And so I had been working with the Romanian Studies program since I came to Romania, which is actually the program that more or less brought me to Romania. So I stepped away from that probably in like the winter, January, February, sometime in there. And then in June, I also stepped away from Veritas, the nonprofit organization that I've been working with also since I came in 2015. And this is the organization that the It Takes Courage programs were under. So I've co-led those programs, the teen character development program that, again, I mentioned last time I was on. I'd co-led that program for 5 years, and that is one of Veritas's educational programs. But I'd also worked closely with their kids club and a lot of the other programs, done different kind of like marketing, making posters, social media, a lot of different things. So that was kind of my main task or responsibility or role, whatever word you want to use. In stepping away from all of these things, those kind of steps were part of this transitional phase, this shift that I've felt for the last like year and a half. And so I'm sure we'll get into a lot of things about all of that phase and shift and transition and everything. But the new exciting thing, I suppose, is I will be starting a new teen program called Courage and Co., which I'm really excited about, obviously a little nervous about, and I haven't like officially shared it. So thanks to Becca and Chosen Vessels, I was able to work through this little dream casting booklet in the beginning of August. And in kind of processing through different things and brainstorming ideas, the mission of the program, the vision of this new adventure, is to help young people feel seen, heard, and loved through intentional relationships and courageous conversations. And in thinking about those relationships, it's, you know, with self, with the group itself, with their friends and family, but also community. So just helping them feel seen and heard and loved, and then hopefully also helping them to kind of replicate, duplicate, whatever word is appropriate there, that with themselves and others. And again, courageous conversation, just talking about lots of different things that maybe are common to talk about, maybe are not, some hard conversations, some conversations that require just a little extra bravery and self-awareness and learning and just, yeah, all kinds of things. So that wasn't exactly very concise, but that's the general idea. So while there will definitely be some similarities between It Takes Courage and the new Courage and Co. program, there are a bunch of different directions that I'm hoping to go with the teens. Obviously, as is very obvious, I decided to also use the word courage for the name of this program. But the Co. kind of represents, it does represent a few other words that we'll focus on. So connect, cultivate, create, and each year of the program, we'll focus on a different word. And I'm still developing a lot of different pieces of that. So more on that potentially later, but that's the general idea, the new exciting announcement.
It's awesome. I'm so excited for it. And it's been a really great privilege to actually be walking and watching this transition for the last year and a half up close. And so what has your process been like over the last year and a half as you felt God begin the shift, but it took you a year and a half to step away from what you were doing and walk into this? So what was that season of God calling you into this transition like?
Yeah, it's actually been really interesting to think about that process over the last, I mean, definitely like actively the last year. But as I kind of thought more about it today, I think the last year and a half to 2 years is what the process has really looked like. And I mean, at the time, like 2 years ago, I don't think I would have said that I felt a shift starting. But looking back, I can definitely see that the shift had started. But a little over a year ago, it was very clear that I was entering a season of transition. A variety of things have happened in the last year, year and a half. So my coworker and friend and, podcast guest, Adela, her and her husband got pregnant. She had a baby. Now she's on maternity leave. We also found out that the It Takes Courage program was going to have to move buildings. And, you know, there were just lots of other things that happened. But more than any, like, situational change, I just really felt, like, in my heart and soul that it was time for a change. In thinking about this conversation and this podcast, I looked back at a blog post that I had written while I was sitting in the Bucharest airport on October 1st of 2019, having just returned from a 2-month visit to America. And I wrote, I'll just read exactly what I wrote, but it says, "And now I get to enjoy readjusting back to my everyday life in Romania, but I'll be honest and tell you that I'm a little nervous. I feel like change is coming. I don't know what kind of change or changes. I don't know when things will change. I don't know why things will change. I just feel like God is taking me into a new season. And so it's so interesting to read that in October, almost a year ago, where I just had no clue what was coming, but I just knew something was coming. And now, of course, to have just done a lot of praying, reading, journaling, reflecting, brainstorming, talking, listening, reading, all of the things. Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think about everything that's happened since then. But yeah, and this is going to sound strange, and I hope it's not like offensive to anyone. But the interesting thing, too, is that I know that I wouldn't have been able to do all of that thinking, praying, journaling, reflecting, brainstorming, blah, 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 blah. I wouldn't have been able to do it, or I know myself, and I wouldn't have made time for all of it if I wasn't stuck in my house for weeks and months, because the spring and summer seasons are always super busy with programs, English camps, Chosen Vessels camp, trips back to America, just everything. But without all of those things, I had time and made time to process and figure out this shift, this transition, this new thing. And again, obviously, I am not saying that I am thankful for the coronavirus or anything like that. So please don't like come at me. But hopefully that kind of makes sense. And kind of reflecting and preparing for this conversation, I just really thought about the last year and how I know that I avoid hard things. And so I just know that I would have avoided the whole process. And so, yeah, I'm just, yeah, I don't know, just a lot of reflecting and thinking, and I'm just grateful, again, not for the coronavirus, but for everything else.
I think it's awesome that beautiful things can come out of hard situations. And so a season that is hard and was hard for you, and we've talked about it before, it was hard for you and it's hard for me. We all experienced the difficulty of this season, but really great things also came out of this past season of quarantine. For many, I feel like there's just a wave of newness coming out of it, which is really neat to see.
Yeah. And I mean, I also will definitely add to that, that it was incredibly hard, you know, like the lockdown, quarantine, whatever words, shelter in place. Like, I was incredibly lonely and it was really difficult. And so, like, I never want people to think, like, oh, her life is so easy, or oh, this process has been so simple. I mean, Becca, you know the conversations we've had over the last year plus, and like especially in the last few months. I just, like, yes, I'm thankful for something that has come out of it, but also, like, it was really hard. Not just the process, but like the last however many months we're in now, specifically. So it's just kind of that both and type of deal, that both, you know, newness and loneliness, or joy and excitement and loneliness and whatever, can exist at the same time. So I just want to make sure I say that too.
Yeah, absolutely. So what have you learned about God in this last season of dreaming with him and planning with him? What has he taught you about himself?
I had to think about this one for a while, because I knew there were things, but I just couldn't quite put my finger on it. But I think what I learned is that he will reveal to me what I need to know when I need to know it. And then he will confirm it, usually more than once, because I think he knows I need extra reassurance. And so, yeah, I've also been reminded of the importance of doing the next right thing in love, which, shout out to somebody who will never listen to this podcast, Emily P. Freeman, who wrote, I mean, maybe she will. Hi, Emily. great book, great podcast. But this is probably true for a lot of people, but I can obviously only speak for myself. I get really overwhelmed by big tasks. sometimes to the point of avoiding those tasks for literal years. And so I have just, throughout this process, I've learned that I really have no choice but to take things one step at a time, one decision at a time, one conversation, and then the next one, and then the next one, and following through on this idea, and then one more idea. And I literally cannot even do more than one thing at a time. So I just have to do the next right thing in love. And so I think, you know, that is related to what I said previously of God reveals to me what I need to know when I need to know it, and then confirms it over and over again.
So his kindness to you was taking time to reveal those things.
Yes.
Would you say that?
That's true. Yes. And also, I don't know that this is specific to this process and this like season, but it's just something that I've been learning in general, is that he also is so kind as to like speak to me. And I think this is true for everybody, but again, I'll speak for myself. He speaks to me in such a personal way. And so like that for me has looked like through conversations with my closest people who paraphrase what I have said and sometimes what I have not said. But relationships are so important to me. And so he's used really important people in my life to kind of help me process and to say things to me that I didn't hear myself saying, or, you know, but also through like specific words or verses or ideas that come up over and over again, or through songs that make me burst into tears every time I listen to them, or Instagram posts with common themes. Like, I've just been reminded that he knows me and he sees me and he is kind enough to speak to me in such a personal way. And that has just been, yeah, really good. That's a really general thing to say, but like, it feels really special and I'm grateful.
Yeah, that's awesome. He's a personal God that talks to us in personal ways. Yes. And I think that's really neat. So this is the first time that you're actually saying this new thing out loud, out in public, that you've been working and planning for and praying for and dreaming with God for. So how do you feel having said that out into the world?
It feels scary. But I, again, like, kind of in just taking it step by step, I've had a conversation with, you know, the person who's like above me in like a supervisory type of role. And I've had conversations, obviously, with the Romanian Studies Program, like staff and board. I've had conversations with the Veritas executive director and president of the Veritas board, and with the pastor of the church, and with, you know, so it's just been like little by little. Mm-hmm. I still feel scared to say it out loud, but like, this is just the next step. This is the next right thing, is to like, now, you know, and I've also, obviously, I'll say this just for people who are like, she's announcing it right now to everybody. Like, I've talked to the teenagers who are in the program as well, and, you know, informed them that while I won't be, like, It Takes Courage will not exist under the umbrella of Veritas anymore, I'm starting this other thing that will be similar, obviously, but different in lots of ways, in a different location, blah, 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 blah. And even ask them, of course, like, for ideas and just to see what it is that they think is important for teenagers. And so, yeah, it is scary, but it's also exciting. And it's, yeah, I really think it is the next right thing. And yeah, circling back around to whenever I said this earlier, of just confirmation has come with each step too. And so, like, for example, in the different conversations, as you know, because you were with me along the way, like, I was super anxious the days and weeks before every conversation that I had to have with different people, you know, because I did feel a little bit like I've let people down and disappointed people. But at the same time, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do. I as I took each step, I knew that it was the right step. Even if it didn't like logically make sense, I could feel it. And so as one example of confirmation, one of the conversations that I had with someone at Veritas, you know, I was really nervous about that one because, again, I didn't want to let people down. I didn't want it to seem like I was leaving because I was angry or whatever. You know, it was nothing like that. It just was the time for change. And one of the things that was said was, well, I'm glad there will still be a program like It Takes Courage in our community because it's important for the young people. And, you know, that was just something that I really felt like God orchestrated that conversation and that statement to confirm again that, yeah, it's scary, but this was the right step. Now let's go on to the next one. And, you know, so for example, I have some purchases that I need to make for the program, and I'm really scared about making them because it feels like a big, scary step and it makes it all feel very real, but I need to just push the button and I know that it'll be fine. But so each step has just felt really scary, but there's also peace that has come literally after every single step. And so I know that, I mean, I already feel peaceful about talking about it. So it's just, I work myself up and I let fear kind of take over sometimes, but that's where God again is kind to me and reaffirms and gives me reassurance. And yeah.
So how do you combat that fear for someone that's maybe listening and they're thinking, yes, I resonate with this so much. So what do I do about that? How do you battle your fear?
Well, I don't know. No, I think I just keep going. Like, while sometimes, though, that it's not like I just keep going immediately. It really takes me sometimes weeks to build myself up, as you know. But like, I keep making a decision. Like, I'm obviously, too, I'm like praying and reading and consulting with people that are close to me and know kind of everything that's going on. And but that's the other thing, like paying attention. I think maybe that's the answer is I'm paying attention to what I feel like, you know, God is trying to tell me through songs and words and dreams. I mean, I had a very vivid dream after I had taken a couple of steps, and it was very like, this is the right path, and this is also what's next. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things with dreams and whatever, but yeah, just like listening and paying attention.
So when you're trying to pay more attention to listen and look for confirmation, are you journaling a lot? Are you having intentional conversations about things? How are you more alert in that season while you're looking for confirmation?
Yeah, I've definitely, I think in the last year to year and a half, kind of as the feeling of the shift began, I definitely started writing things down. Like I wrote that dream down. And I wrote down, you know, even in creating or coming up with and praying about my word for the year, which is create, you know, I didn't know in January what that meant, but obviously now it means so much more of, you know, creating not only like, I think one of the things that I said was like creating margin, creating space, creating different things, but like also being like creating that space to, again, all the words I keep listing, but like praying, brainstorming, journaling, blah, 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 has allowed me to create this new program. And so, but also, yeah, I think in listening, like active listening, because, you know, I've had conversations with one person that was, it was a great conversation. They, you know, shared whatever, they heard me saying X, Y, Z. It was great. And that was an important conversation. But then a couple days later, I had another conversation with another friend, and they said or echoed or heard me say the same thing, even though we're obviously different person, different conversation, probably same topic as things were being discussed about the shift. But it was like person after person after person was saying, Casey, it seems like you're saying this. And does that feel right? And of course, I'm always like, no, it's not. It's blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, it's all so scary. I'm like, no, you didn't hear me say that, but I knew they did. And I knew I said it directly or indirectly. But yeah, so paying attention, listening, journaling for sure. I've started in the last probably 2 years, not related to this shift at all, but started trying to journal more of my prayers just so that I can go back and see things that A, were like on my heart, but B, also like prayers that were answered or answered in different ways than I wanted, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I have learned that I will forget. I do forget very easily. And so I really try to write things down. And while I want that to be this like beautiful, elaborate journal, sometimes it's on a post-it note that I just stick in my journal because that's what works in the moment. Or, you know, especially in the lonely, dark season of being in lockdown, I didn't want to do anything, but like I knew certain things were really important. And so I would write it on a post-it and just stick it on a page and not write anything else. But it was these themes that I kept hearing that I knew I didn't want to forget. So at minimum, post-its are great. But obviously <That's awesome. laughs> there are pages and pages too of prayers and of thoughts and about the dream and, you know, just all these different things. So yeah.
That's awesome. So this is new and exciting. So what are some ways that people can support you in this new adventure?
Well, I definitely would say prayer is great. I've actually said to a couple different people, involved in Chosen Vessels, actually, that I've had these moments in the last few months to a year, probably, where I just have like felt like, I think somebody's praying for me right now, or like somebody's been praying about this, because, you know, again, it's like courage to have a conversation that I would have kept putting off and kept putting off. But like, I knew, yeah, there was somebody was staying busy. So prayer would be great, obviously, just for like wisdom, to continue to make choices that will be beneficial to the teenagers, for, yeah, just planning and preparation and finances and the courage to click the button to order stuff that I really actually need, but just feels still scary. So prayer is obviously huge, financially. So since I'm no longer, so I didn't really explain this at all, but these new programs will be held in the local church building. But they're still kind of like, without getting into so much complicated details, like they're kind of still just like a separate program that I'm starting. And so kind of with that said, there's not like a pre-existing budget that I'm walking into. Whereas, you know, in the organization that I was working with, there was a budget for an educational program. And so financially, I'm kind of starting from zero. And yeah, but just really hoping, and I don't know, I'm, as what tends to happen, I find like I freak out about finances and think, I'm not going to have any money. But then I just, this wave of peace comes over me and I feel like I don't have to worry about that, which is, it just keeps happening. And it's so interesting to me because that was a huge piece of why I never pursued missions and didn't want to go like come to Romania. I just thought, it will never work, so I'm not even going to try, which there's definitely a piece of that in this whole process too, of like, well, how could I ever, you know, raise enough support to fund a whole program, you know, all of that, that whole deal. And right now in this moment, I feel like I'm not really worried about, like, I'm going to I'm going to purchase what I need to purchase. And I just know that it'll be fine and we'll have funding. And at the same time, like, even if we don't, I can sit a bunch of teenagers in a room and we can have a great time. But like, I know it's not going to be like that. We'll be fine. So yeah, financially, obviously there are needs in starting a new program. I'd also say if anybody has excellent resources for working with youth, I'm happy to hear them. I've been working with youth for years here in Romania, but also just in social work and in my experience in education and whatnot. But, you know, youth, the generations change and certain topics become more not important, but like, I don't know, things we need to talk about. And so if anybody has resources that they would want to share, if you work in youth ministry or games or anything, I'm always looking for new resources. So that would be much appreciated.
How do you want people to be praying for you? You mentioned wisdom and planning and prep and finances, but for you specifically, as you're serving, if people just think about you and they want to lift you up, how do you want people to pray specifically for you?
I guess one of the main things, which is a little bit more on people's minds these days, is just like physical health. Again, thankfully, we haven't had a ton of cases here in this city and area, but you know, that can change at any time. And so I think just obviously if I'm not physically healthy, I can't do what I do every day. And so physical health, but even emotional health and spiritual health, I'm, you know, I don't have a coworker, so I'm doing this on my own. While I'm also totally not doing this on my own, like I very much recognize that, but, yeah, so I think just, I hate to use such a cliche word here, but courage to, well, I'll just keep going with it, to connect with the teenagers, to cultivate and help them grow and to create just an environment where they, oh, you're going to get me again. I'm going to cry. Oh, man. Yeah, I just, oh, I did not plan for this. Yeah, I think just, you know, it's the whole self-care is such a thing these days that I hate to even use that phrase, but just kind of the idea that you can't, you know, pour from an empty cup. And so I tend to pour from an empty cup and I'm working on that. But, you know, I've learned and I'm learning and I will probably always be learning that like I have to not do that. And so I think just prayers that my cup would be filled in whatever way that that means so that I can, yeah, see and love and hear these teenagers who, man, oh man, I love them. And I think that was, you know, that was kind of a hard part in all of this is I felt like a change was happening. And I knew that, yeah, I don't know, like I knew that there was a shift. And I didn't know what that was going to look like. And I was like, okay, of course, in my mind, I'm like, is this mean I'm leaving Romania? Like, I'm stepping away from these two huge things that I've done ever since I've been here. And so, as you know, from conversations that we had, that really got me thinking sometimes of like, maybe God's preparing me to leave. Maybe I'm supposed to go home. Maybe this is it. And this is just a natural way to step away from everything. And you know, all of that. But, you know, as I stepped away from the Romanian Studies program, I thought that was going to be the shift. I'm getting away from the question, but I think this is all related. Yeah, I thought that was the shift that was going to happen, was I was going to step out of the Romanian Studies program. But even after making that decision and knowing that that was the right decision, I knew there was something else. And so, of course, that led me to stepping away from Veritas. And obviously, you know, that stepping away from both of those things was leaving me with a lot of spare time. And so, like in the future, since COVID, you know, changed everything, but having stepped out of those things, I still felt so strongly that I am called to work with teenagers. And, you know, I, of course, like, worked that around in my brain over and over again. Okay, but in what capacity, with what kind of teenagers, what is that going to look like? And I just still really feel called to work specifically with this similar demographic that I've been working with. And it takes courage with, you know, primarily middle class, English speaking Romanian teenagers, and making sure that they feel, getting repetitive, but that they feel seen and heard and loved, and that they learn more about themselves and others. And yeah, that they, I don't know, that they just feel seen and loved and heard. And so actually I will also be working with the church's youth group as well. That's kind of another role that I'm stepping into. That wasn't really something I was thinking about or planning for, but it just worked out. And so that'll be a little bit different group of teenagers, and it won't be in English. So prayers for that actually would be really appreciated because I can speak Romanian, I can communicate, but there's just, you know, I hit a wall at certain points and it's a challenge. And so, you know, there's always somebody around that can translate, and it's fine, but that would be just for language to continue to develop, and that I'll figure that new role out as well. Because that'll, yeah, it's teenagers, which I'm excited about, but it'll be a little different. And, I will also just keep the announcements coming. I will also still be working out in the village, like I mentioned on the last episode that I was on, with the child development center through the church out in a nearby village. And so prayers just for that program. Obviously, we have a lot of things to figure out for how to run a children's program in a rural village during COVID. And so there's just lots of changes and lots of decisions. And so just wisdom for myself and for the young woman that leads the program, and for the kids and their families, and just, yeah, all of the things.
Absolutely. Well, Casey, getting to watch this transition up close has been such an example for me. And I think that you have set an awesome example for what it looks like to quietly wait on God to move. And you have been bold and courageous in doing this. And I am just so proud of you and so thankful to have a little insight into your story and just the way God has called you into deeper waters this next year. And you displayed great faith in the way that you were obedient to step away from the things God was calling you to step away from before you knew what he was calling you into. And so thank you for being that example for me and for others too. And I am so excited about your new program. I'm so pumped. I don't think I could be more excited for something that I had nothing to do with.
But, you totally have something to do with it. But
we will be praying for you, and I will make sure that we also link your blog in the show notes so people can kind of go and catch up with you a little bit and see just if they want to learn more. And then any other things you want to put, like links, we'll put those in the show notes as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have a giving link. I'm hoping to write a blog post for kind of just the non-maybe podcast listeners, but there'll probably be some other little nuggets of information in there. And then also hoping to do a fundraiser with some cute little t-shirts. And so, yeah, we can get all of that stuff in there as well. And thanks for your kind words. It's interesting because I'm just thinking and processing everything as it's happening. But when you talked about like stepping out, even though I didn't know what was coming, it's, I don't know, it's just, I didn't think of it that way. And even this morning, I was listening to our podcast from last time just to kind of remind myself of what I shared and how I explained things, just to try to be clear and help people understand just things that are going on. And one of the things that kind of like re-shocked me as I was listening was that, and I don't say this at all to sound like prideful, but like I say this as like an encouragement to people, but like I forget often that I said yes to pursuing missions and to quitting my job and to everything, not knowing where I was going and what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Now, I definitely didn't quit my job without all of that. I quit my job once I knew that I was going somewhere, but saying yes piece. And again, that just feels like further confirmation of that is what we just, that's all we can do. I mean, I suppose we can not as well. Like, I think I might've talked about, but I didn't get this far in the last episode of like, I could have said no, I could have kept saying no. And you know, my life would have been fine, but I wouldn't necessarily have gotten to Romania. And, you know, at this point I can't imagine my life not in Romania. But anyways, all that, just how you said, you know, stepping away from things, not knowing what I was stepping into. And I think that, again, maybe this is the theme of the podcast, but like just doing the next right thing and taking it one step at a time, and you'll always be able to figure it out. And I don't know, there will be confirmation. And I think maybe the reason this resonates so much now is just the days that we're living in where everything is so crazy all the time, changing and whatever, that we just do the next thing, and then we do the next thing, and then we do the next thing, and trust that we pay attention, obviously, but also trust and have faith that we'll get to where we need to go. And I don't know, that just feels really important to say, I guess.
You definitely are always seeking out how to do the next right thing and are very obedient and bold. And I think the reason why it doesn't feel that way to you, like that you have to step away, is because you're just so much more full of faith than you think you are. And,
even I roll my eyes from.
And we can all learn from your faith of stepping out and being willing to go where God's calling you to go and to do the next right thing. So, well, is there anything we did not cover about your program or anything else you want to add?
You can cut this if you need to, but when are you coming to Romania?
When the borders open or when I get a visa. So people can pray for that too. Get my visa application.
Please pray for that, people.
So, oh man. Well, thank you so much, Casey. And thanks for sharing just about your process and this shift, and also just about the program. I'm so excited for you, and I know others will be too.
Yeah. Thanks for having me back on. You know how nervous I get, but it always is fine. See, it's the next right thing. That's the name of that podcast. People, there you go.